Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We continue. It's After Hours right here on CBS Sports Radio, talking Antonio Brown and week two of the National Football League. We'll head out to the hotline right now and welcome in a former NFL quarterback, and that's Steve Berline, who's kind enough to join us for a few minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Steve, it's Zach Gelb in New York City. Always great to talk to you. And how you been?
I'm doing fantastic. And, excited about where this NFL season is already heading. A lot of things to talk about. So let's get after it.
Well, let's start it off with something that's difficult to talk about, and that's Antonio Brown. I know the helmet and the feet paling to comparison what has been accused of him recently. Puts the NFL and the Patriots in a situation where is it innocent until proven guilty, or do they elect not to play him on Sunday? What do you think the proper approach is here? We're still trying to gather all the facts and the he said, she said of three counts of sexual assault that he's being accused of.
Well, I think the proper plan of attack is to do what the Patriots are doing right now, at least last I heard, and it could have changed in the last few hours. I was at the Angels baseball game, so I don't know if anything's come out. But I think just kind of deferring to the NFL at this point, I would love to see, I think just from an ethical standpoint, Robert Kraft step up and maybe stick his nose in there and try to make a positive statement, with all the things that he's been through. It'd be nice for someone to take a stronger stance and say, you know what, we didn't know about this, or whatever it is, there's an investigation going on. I, as the owner of this football team, am going to stand up and say, you know what, this is major stuff, this is very serious, and we're going to hold off on playing Antonio Brown until this investigation is complete. That would be, from an ethical standpoint, the thing to do. But I think from a professional standpoint, from a realistic NFL standpoint perspective, I think just letting the thing take its due process through the NFL investigation is the right way to handle it for the coach and the rest of the team in their preparation for this week. So it's a terrible situation, not surprising whatsoever. And I know a lot of people were hoping that something like this would happen to Antonio Brown and the Patriots for sticking their nose in there and taking a shot on him. So we'll see what comes out of it, but it's not a good situation, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't see there's more information to come out, but with the stuff that was in the lawsuit, I can't see how he's on the field on Sunday, right?
I can't imagine the NFL allowing that to happen. Just, from a purely PR perspective, they would get absolutely destroyed. So I think that will be enough to force them to take a pretty hardline stance and say, we're going to use the commissioner's
exemplars.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's probably the way it's going to end up going. It's looking like it's heading that way.
And yeah, time's working against them too, because it's not as if this is in the off season and we have months and months until games. This is something that's coming up in a few days when they play Miami.
Exactly right. So they've got to make a quick decision, and the longer they stew over it, the more they're opening themselves up to being criticized for it. So we'll see something happen here the next day for sure. I'm pretty sure about that.
Steve Berline here with us, former NFL quarterback Zach Gelbin for A-Law After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to some of the games this upcoming weekend. We'll start things off with the Cardinals and the Ravens. Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, tell me what you think about those two quarterbacks, especially Lamar Jackson, because my oh my, I know it was against the Dolphins, but last weekend was impressive.
It was, and I had made some comments prior to week one that's one of the games or one of the quarterbacks I was most interested in seeing if there was any progress made. And I expected him to be a better passer and to be able to handle more of a traditional kind of a passing game. But what he did, 17 for 20 with five touchdown passes, was beyond my, any realistic expectations. He blew away everybody. It was a spectacular performance by him. Now we're going to find out if it was, purely just game planning and having the right plays dialed up at the right time, or whether he really has made the progress that it seems he has. And if he can play consistently from the pocket, make those throws week in and week out, we're going to find out. So I'm excited to see what he does against the Cardinals this week. And then, you know, Kyler Murray, a terrible three quarters of the game, and then, you know, just became more of a baller, a football player, and stepped up and did what he had to do to get his team back into the ball game. So I was very impressed with how he got his team back into the game. The first three quarters went kind of like I expected it to go, and kind of like I expected to go for many of his games this year. And, you know, I'm still not sold on him 100% as being worthy of that first pick and being a great franchise quarterback over time. But he's got some very, very unique abilities. He can throw the football. And if he can find a way to continue to put his team in position to win, he's going to have a great run and a great career as well.
What makes you not sold on him? Is it the height or is it something else?
It's the height. It really is. I mean, it's a question. And until you see a body of work that can, you know, eliminate that as an issue, it's going to be a question mark in my head, and I think in a lot of people's heads. So there's no doubt his athletic ability, and there's no doubt that he can throw the football. He wasn't under a lot of pressure on Sunday. And, you know, I think his offensive line is drastically improved from what Josh Rosen had to deal with last year, at least against the Detroit Lions, who we all know don't have a tremendous pass rush. That was probably a big part of it as well. But he had a nice, clean pocket, at least down the stretch of that game when they were making their comeback. There was nobody in his face. He had a lot of time to look through and find his receivers. It's not going to be that easy going against the Baltimore Ravens. And there's going to be pressure on him. He's going to be moving. We know he can make plays outside of the pocket, but the question is, can he stand in there with bodies flying around and not only see the receivers and see the holes he needs to throw it into, but can he deliver the ball, find a lane to get that ball through there over outstretched arms and over linebackers and under safeties? That's going to be the question from my standpoint that has to be proven over time. And this Sunday will be a great challenge for him. I expect him to struggle this week against the Baltimore Ravens.
Steve Berline here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Let's stay in the AFC North. The Browns, a big-time disappointing week one performance against the Titans. Browns have the Jets this week on Monday Night Football, and then Pittsburgh with another no-show in New England. They have the Seahawks. Are you concerned with what you saw after the Browns at Pittsburgh, or do you just chalk it up to it's week one and it's still an early season?
Well, I think you have to be very concerned about both of those teams. And the question is whether they're going to right the ship this week and come back highly motivated and highly prepared to set the record straight and get this season going in the right direction. I mean, both of those teams are teams that people expected to contend in the AFC, and they did not even put up a fight. And extremely disappointing on both sides for both of those teams. You know, I expect Cleveland to come out with a lot to prove. You know, Baker Mayfield obviously is going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder, and I think that's going to spread throughout that whole organization. And Ben Roethlisberger had one of his worst games where he was really a non-factor in that game. And usually you can count on him to step up and make a few plays to get his team at least back to respectable, at least back into a ball game where you feel like they're, okay, this team is capable of closing the gap if New England's not, you know, careful. But there was never a time during that game where you felt Pittsburgh had anything going. So very disappointed. I expect Ben to come back and try to right the ship and set the record straight this week as well. And you mentioned the Jets. You know, that was a terrible loss, a very, very difficult loss for them as well. So you got two teams in that Browns-Jets game that have got an awful lot riding on this week. And both of those teams have a brutal schedule coming following this game. So it could end up getting really ugly for whatever team loses this game this week.
Steve Berline here with us on CBS Sports Radio, the former NFL quarterback. Let's go to the AFC South. Colts have Andrew Luck retired. Jaguars get Nick Foles, then he suffers the big injury. Titans and Texans, that's what I get the feels what this division's coming down to. Watson was great on Monday night, but his offensive line, even with Tunsil, doesn't do him much favors. And Tennessee surprised a lot of people in week one. I was a little bit more positive with the Titans than most people going into this season. In the South, do you lean towards the Texans, Titans, or do you still have some faith maybe in Jacksonville or Indianapolis?
You know, I think all around the Colts are as good a team as anybody. The question is going to be the quarterback, whether Jacoby Brissett can step up and fill those big shoes. And the Colts have rewarded him with a contract for 2 years, and we're going to see if he can be that guy. That's an awful big ask, I think. And I still have significant issues with the way that this was handled by Andrew Luck. But the bottom line is we're going to see what Jacoby Brissett can bring to the table right now. But the Texans, I think, are the team you have to favor in that division. I was very impressed with what the Titans did week one. But I think that as much as anything, they came out and caught Cleveland, you know, in a very vulnerable position. I think they feeling like they were pretty darn good. Tennessee wanted to, you know, get that game, turn it into a physical game and really question and challenge the physicality of the Cleveland Browns. And they won that battle. That's always going to be something Tennessee brings to the table. They're not going to sneak up on anybody, though. And going forward, it's going to be a challenge to see how they can, you know, rally. And if they can continue to run the football and play good defense and keep the pressure off of Marcus Mariota, I think they can run, make a run at that division and challenge the Houston Texans. But I think with all the talent the Texans have on both sides of the ball, they're the team that you have to figure is really the front runner at this point. So I'd be surprised if it changed differently. But you've got three pretty darn good football teams sitting right there in that division now that can play with anybody, and we'll see how it works out.
Cowboys beat up on the Giants this past weekend. Dak Prescott looked really good on the football field. The Eagles got off to that slow start, down double digits, but they were able to rally, led by Wentz to DeSean Jackson. Do you have a favorite in the NFC East this year, or do you think it's too close to call between the Eagles and the Cowboys?
I think it's a pretty close call right now. Week one showed that they're both pretty good football teams, different kind of wins for both of those teams. The Cowboys just looked pretty much unstoppable both sides of the ball, but you know, going against a team that really didn't put up much of a fight, and I don't think is going to be a team contending for a whole lot in the New York Giants this year. Their defense is pretty soft right now. But you have to give Cowboys credit and Dak Prescott credit. They took it to them, both running the football, throwing the football. Dak looked very, very sharp, was accurate with the football, and looked like a quarterback eager to prove he's worth that big contract. So we'll see what happens with that. And then Philadelphia, you know, getting booed at home in week one, down 17-0, but they show what they're made of. They've got a really, really tough quarterback mentally, who's got the ability to make all the plays all over the field, and showed that on Sunday coming back against the Redskins. And, you know, I think that they're both going to be really, really good football teams, barring any significant injuries. And it's going to come down to very late in the season to see who's got control of that division.
And this is a big one for the Falcons coming up on Sunday. They got the Eagles at Atlanta. Atlanta 0-1 to start off the year. They got smoked by the Vikings in week one. I'll be curious to see what team the Falcons show up. Are they going to be a team that looks like they're trying to move past last year's blunders, or is it going to be the same old that we saw early on to start off the season in week one?
Well, that was as disappointing a loss as I can think of week one. I really expected the Falcons to come out and try to you know, make a really strong statement week one, coming off of a very, very disappointing year last year. And to come out and play that poorly on the offensive side of the ball, where they've got as much skill position talent as anybody in the NFL, to play that poorly and struggle that much was really a big red flag to me. So we're going to find out very quickly whether the Falcons are going to be a factor in that NFC South. We're going to see if Dan Quinn's got the ability to bring his team back and to get them motivated and focused on what's in front of them, and if he can get them ready to play in a huge home football game against the Philadelphia Eagles. It's going to be a massive challenge. You know, the Eagles are a team that's coming in with the swagger and all the things I just talked about with their quarterback. This game is going to go down to the wire. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And the Falcons have got to find a way to come away with the win at home in week two.
Yeah, these games have been close over the years between the Eagles and the Falcons, and most of the time Philly does capitalize in the red zone against that Atlanta offense. So I'll be curious to see what happens on Sunday. Wrapping up with Steve Berline. NFC North, Trubisky was disappointing week one. Rodgers gets the victory, and then the Vikings look like a different team than what they were last year. And with the Vikings, it comes down to finishing. Who do you like to come out of that division this year? Do you see, you know, how many teams do you think come out of the playoffs in that division?
Wow, that's a great question. I think week one didn't tell us much. The Falcons or the Vikings, like you said, you know, running the ball, 38 times. Kirk Cousins only throwing it 10 times. I think Mike Zimmer would like that to be the recipe every single week. He'd like to keep the pressure off of Kirk Cousins as much as possible. He doesn't want his quarterback to be determining to get the wins and losses throughout the course of the season. But we know this is the NFL. There are going to be games where he's going to have to throw it 35, 45 times. So it's not going to be quite that easy, and it's going to have to he's going to have to show that he can win big games. He hasn't been able to do that to this point in his career. If he can do that, I think the Vikings are probably the team that I would favor in that division. But it's got to come down to Kirk Cousins finding ways to win big ball games. I like Aaron Rodgers. I like Mitch Trubisky, and I like both of their teams. They're both teams that are going to be really, really good defensively. Trubisky really took a step back in week one. I'm gonna give a little bit of credence to the belief that not playing in the preseason had a major effect on the young quarterback. It actually affected Aaron Rodgers, I believe, as well. Both of those quarterbacks were off all that game, despite the fact they're playing against really good defenses. I think that the no reps, no live game action in the preseason hurt both of those guys, and it was a defensive struggle all the way. But I think they're both going to be good football teams. We should probably see two teams come out of that division, because all three of those teams are really good football teams, and we'll just see how it plays itself out.
And then last one for Steve Berline. I have about a minute left. Bucks and Panthers on Thursday Night Football. What are some keys that you look for between this one, as both quarterbacks are obviously going to be under the microscope in this game?
Yeah, they really are. Both quarterbacks struggling, Cam Newton and Jameis Winston. I think at home, Carolina, with all that's riding on their season, the expectations are very high for them. A lot of people expect them to challenge in that NFC South. So I expect them to come out and play a really good, solid football game. I think Cam's got a lot to prove. We'll see if he can get his head right and come out and play a good football game. But Jameis Winston and the Bucks, it's going to be a long year for them. Week one is going to be the way it's going to play itself out most of the season. They'll step up and have a few games throughout the course of the season where they play well and contend and will come away with a few wins. But I think in general they're going to be a team that's going to struggle because of the inconsistency at the quarterback position. We already know what you're going to get in Jameis Winston. And if he can find a way to play consistently over the course of the season, that'll be a huge, huge surprise to a lot of people, because I don't think there's a lot of believers out there right now that he's going to ever be that guy.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it as always.
All right. You got it. Take care.
There's Steve Berline, former NFL quarterback, Zach Gelbin for A-Law. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout and be back right after these short messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.